When I started looking into diapers, wipes, and skincare products for my baby, I remember feeling slightly paralyzed by all the options. That was 9 years ago now for my first. And even in the 3 years between my first and second kids, there were so many more products and a lot more marketing being thrown at me. I see a lot of expectant and new moms struggling with this today because while there are more and more healthy options on the market, this can be a bit of a blessing and a curse. So today, I'm going to break down what you should pay attention to when it comes to choosing least toxic diapers, wipes, and skincare products for your baby. And yes, I'll share some brand recommendations too. So if you are about to have a baby or you're a new parent wondering what to do, this episode is for you. Welcome to the Missing Pillar of Health podcast, the show that tackles the often misunderstood and underestimated topics related to toxins and their impact on our health and well-being. I'm your host, environmental engineer, mom of two, and founder of Green at Home, Emma Roman. My mission is to help you reduce toxins in your life without fear, judgment, or shame, so you can be more informed and empowered to take action on issues that matter to your health. The research is clear that toxic chemicals found in the products we use, food we eat, water we drink, and air we breathe are contributing to the rise of chronic illness, allergies, infertility, autoimmune disease, and more. The good news is you can reduce your exposure without having to drastically change your lifestyle, and I'm here to show you how. As Margaret Mead said, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. I believe addressing toxins is a critical step towards creating healthier and happier families, communities, and ultimately a better planet. And that starts right here, right now. Let's dive into today's show. Before I dive into today's topic, I want to give a shout out to Apple Podcast user DCast13, who gave the show a 5-star rating and wrote, "I really love how Emma frames up the topics in a non-intimidating or judgmental way. She's inclusive in her recommendations, understanding we can't all afford certain products or have time to make everything from scratch. And it's never an all or nothing approach. She always provides insight into where to start. Thank you for sharing this valuable information for free." I so appreciate this feedback because this is exactly what I set out to accomplish with this show. So thank you. And if you have been listening on Apple Podcasts and like what you hear, I would love for you to take a moment, scroll down into your podcast player to leave a 5-star rating and write your own review. It's one of the ways podcast apps know the show is legit so they can share it with more people. I really appreciate all the reviews. All right, now let's talk baby products, shall we? This topic actually came to me from a member of my community, so a shout out to Melissa, who wanted to know specifically how to balance toxicity with affordability when it comes to diapers, wipes, and skincare products for baby. So I'm going to give you the information that you need to help you weigh those competing priorities for your family. Before we dive into the product details, I want to make sure we're on the same page about why baby products are so important when it comes to considering toxins. I talked about the 5 main misconceptions around toxins in general in episode 19. So you can cue that up after this one if you haven't already listened, because it addresses some of the biggest roadblocks people have when trying to tackle toxins. When it comes to babies, the biggest misconception I want to debunk is that they are not just little adults. Adult exposure limits cannot be easily extrapolated to children for several reasons. According to the World Health Organization, children, which spans from fetus to adolescence, are often at different and increased risk from environmental toxins than adults. And there are some key reasons for this. First, children have different and often unique exposures to environmental toxins than adults do. For example, they're crawling around and sticking their hands in their mouths constantly. They're also exposed to toxins that are found in air, water, and food at a higher amount per body mass than adults. And these toxins are handled very differently because children have immature sets of immune and detoxification systems. A children's physiology is also changing and maturing and growing in phases called developmental windows. And these are critical windows of vulnerability, which means that during these time periods, if children are exposed to certain toxins that can interrupt developmental processes, it can alter normal function and structure in the body, having a long-term impact. And we just don't have these developmental windows as adults. And finally, children have a longer life expectancy, which means they have longer to manifest certain diseases that can take time to manifest and longer to live with toxic damage. In addition, toxic exposures can be passed down through generations. For example, as females, we're born with all of the eggs we will ever have, which means that exposure to toxins right from conception and throughout our lifetime can affect the cells that will contribute to the health of future generations. Now, as with everything I share, I don't share this to make you feel afraid or bad for anything that you may have done in the past. The past can't be changed. We can only choose to act on the information that we have going forward. So I share this with you so that you can make more informed decisions looking forward, not back. And the truth is, the sooner we can lower our children's exposure, the greater the long-term impact can be. And I think that's a really important factor when weighing competing priorities. All right, let's dig into what you should look for in diapers, wipes, and skincare products for your baby. We will start with diapers. And you have a wide range of options. So let's break down some of the things to look at when deciding what diapers to use. First off, you have the option of cloth diapering, using disposables, or a combination of the two. Cloth diapering could be an entire conversation on its own, so if you're curious about it, I will pop a link to a blog post I wrote on cloth diapering. It is something that I recommend everybody at least consider. I know it's not practical or possible for everybody, but it's really not as overwhelming or complicated as it might seem. If you've ever started Googling it, it's a bit of a minefield of information out there. So I wrote that blog just as a way to share how I approached it with both of my kids. Now, when it comes to disposable diapers, you have a range from conventional to less toxic to what I'll call least toxic. Some people categorize products like this as good, better, best, but I don't like that terminology because it makes it sound like you're not doing your best if you choose anything but the best. So I'm going to give you several things to consider and look at. And depending on where you are and what access you have to certain products and what your budget is, hopefully you can find something that works for you. So at a bare minimum, I recommend avoiding scented products and those with any added lotion. Yes, as your baby gets older and starts eating more solids, their poop will stink. There is no real getting around that. And covering it up with ingredients that don't have to be disclosed, which is the case with fragrance ingredients, but often include allergens and hormone disruptors, I just really don't think it's worth it. Besides, you kind of want to know when you need to change their diaper. So having something that masks the smell, I just don't really get. So skip the fragrance. And lotions don't necessarily have to have their ingredients disclosed either in diapers. And really, when it comes down to it, regular changes and proper diaper care are going to be more effective at preventing diaper rash. So fragrance and lotion are just marketing gimmicks that aren't necessary and I think should be avoided. Conventional brands, even like Pampers or Huggies, have unscented lotion-free options, so be sure to read the packaging or the online product descriptions carefully to make sure that you're choosing one that is free of these ingredients. Unlike skincare products, which I'll get to in a bit, diapers don't have to disclose all of the different ingredients of the various components of the diaper. So fragrance and lotion are just two features that you can watch out for. They're usually listed on the package, but the rest of what goes into a diaper isn't necessarily fully disclosed. Though I am seeing more and more brands disclosing the materials they're using, particularly on the eco brand side. Now, with some of that also comes green washing. So hopefully this conversation will help you pay attention for things that matter. Now, you might be thinking that the ingredients in diapers don't really matter that much. It's not like you're eating them. But a study was published in the Journal of Reproductive Toxicology, and it doesn't name the brands tested, but it looked at diapers and menstrual pads from Korea, Japan, Finland, France, Greece, and the US. And the authors wrote, "The physical location of the exposure site, the high absorption rate of the genitalia for chemicals, and the long-term exposure period demand a thorough investigation on the potential impact of the exposure to VOCs and phthalates." So with those two groups of chemicals specifically, all four diaper brands tested contained the VOCs toluene and xylene and two types of phthalates. Another type of phthalate was found in one brand. The products had significantly higher levels of phthalates than what is commonly found in other plastic goods as well. So why is this a problem? VOCs are linked with cancer, among other conditions, and phthalates are linked with reproductive issues, asthma, and hormone disruption. Now, it's tough to say where these chemicals are coming from exactly, and we can't directly link their presence in diapers with health impacts or risk, but it might be one reason that you want to choose more natural diaper ingredients because of the concern that the sensitive area of the body can absorb these chemicals. Most diapers are made with polypropylene or polyethylene fabrics, which provide the waterproofness. These are technically non-toxic in solid form, but they may be irritating to sensitive skin when used on the inner layers of diapers, the part that's in contact with skin, and this is also called the top sheet in diaper speak. They aren't necessarily no-go ingredients, but they are petroleum-based plastics that have the potential to leach contaminants. Again, not very well studied. This could be where the phthalates came from in that one diaper study. And if you're looking to go plastic-free, then you'll want to be avoiding fabrics that say polypropylene or polyethylene. A couple of brands that use natural fibers instead are Nest and Diaper, D-Y-P-E-R, though the bamboo that's used to make them would need to be heavily processed to create a malleable and soft fabric. So it's not without its downsides, but it is plastic-free. The common ingredient for the absorptive core of diapers is called sodium polyacrylate. And most diapers will have this either entirely or combined with a natural fiber like wood pulp. It's generally recognized as safe and is of particularly low concern because it's not in direct contact with baby's skin. So if a natural diaper shows it on the ingredient list, it's not something to be overly concerned about necessarily. Some of the more conservative sites and ratings suggest moving away from this ingredient, but on a spectrum of things to worry about, I would say it's on the lower end. If it does start leaking from the diapers, however, be sure to wipe it off baby's skin and make sure baby doesn't eat the stuff. It can be irritating and definitely should not be ingested. And finally, there are lots of concerns over bleaching and dyes. So heavily dyed products have a potential to use dyes and colorants with not so great ingredients. So you can look for mention of heavy metal testing if cute patterns are your jam. Most products are going to be bleached to give them a uniform color. And this used to be achieved with chlorine, which formed carcinogenic dioxins as a byproduct. This is now done with either chlorine dioxide, which is called elemental chlorine free, or ECF, you'll see on packaging, or total chlorine free processes. So dioxins can technically still be formed with the ECF method. However, we are exposed to dioxins from a number of sources in our environment, notably our food, at substantially higher concentrations than would be found as a byproduct in bleached products. In high quantities, the processing that produces dioxins is definitely bad for the environment. So it's not necessarily a manufacturing process that we want to be supporting, but the trace amounts that may be found in diapers is a negligible source when we're looking at a health to baby perspective. So if you want to avoid this altogether, then you will want to look for total chlorine free on the packaging. There are lots of brands out there, and there are new options coming up all the time. So I hope this gives you some context to review them with confidence and help you choose a brand that's right for you. And because I know you're wondering, my go-to diaper when my kiddos were in them were Natie, because they met enough of my standards. They worked on my kids. We didn't have many leaks or blowouts. And what was really important for me was I could find them in local shops. I personally am a terrible online shopper. They also have pull-ups, which became handy for toilet training. And as I mentioned, we primarily used cloth diapers, so that helped offset the cost premium for the higher priced disposables that we used. Bambo is another brand that gets recommended by many in my Facebook group, the Green Product Forum. Now, full disclosure, both of these brands use plastic fabrics. All right, let's move on to wipes. Now, for starters, if you decide to cloth diaper, then I encourage you to also consider cloth wipes. This was not something that entered into my radar personally until after we decided to cloth diaper, but they make so much sense. They're cheap, they are zero waste, and they're gentle on baby's skin. So in the cloth diapering blog that I've linked in the show notes, I give you my recipe for a cloth wipe solution that was useful for sticky poops and also soothing red bums, but you can also just use water, especially in the early days. When it comes to disposable wipes, there's one thing that I see people confused about, and that is preservatives. The fact is, you've got some sort of fabric plus other ingredients sitting in a moist environment, sealed up in typically a plastic package, which means you have a breeding ground for mold and bacteria. And so disposable wipes need to have a preservative. I think we need to shift away from our demands for having preservative-free products because that's not necessarily the goal. And in some instances, preservatives are required to make sure that the product itself is healthy and isn't going to cause skin issues from mold or bacteria. So if you want to avoid preservatives because you've got particular sensitivities to them or some other reason, then know that cloth is another option. Some brands will use various forms of purified water, which can reduce the strength of preservative needed. And it's typically the stronger preservatives that have more concerns when it comes to health. So that is one way that some brands might be using some of the quote unquote healthier preservatives, but can still be functional because they're using purified water. Now, I won't list out all the preservatives you'll find in products, but I wanted to give you a quick summary of some of the main ones. So benzalkonium chloride is a fairly common preservative that is a quaternary ammonium compound, which means I don't recommend it for sensitive skin, allergies, or eczema. That being said, it's not likely in high enough quantities to be a concern for most people. And this is the ingredient that is found in trace amounts in water wipes, which led to this internet back and forth about water wipes being amazing for some people and them being terrible from others because this benzalkonium chloride was a kind of byproduct ingredient. Phenoxyethanol is another common one and may not be perfect, but as long as you're not eating it, it hasn't been demonstrated to have a high risk in uses like wipes. Many people don't like it because of potential neurological damage that can result from ingestion. But when it comes to an effective preservative with a decent track record for not causing harm in the way that it's used, it might be okay. Disodium EDTA is another one that isn't necessarily terrible on its own, but is a penetration enhancer, which means it may increase absorption of other ingredients that wouldn't otherwise pass through the skin's protective layer. Conventional brands also often include petroleum-based ingredients like methacone, which leaves a coating that makes baby's skin feel smooth and soft, but doesn't actually nourish the skin. And could trap bacteria and other things under there, contributing to more irritation down the line. They're really just filler ingredients, which makes you think they're working because the skin feels soft, but it's just faking it. And one more thing to watch out for, despite a lot of the what I think are unscrupulous claims, and we just need to stop, of wipes being flushable, please never flush wipes down the toilet. Doesn't matter what the package says, if it says flushable wipes, ignore it. They can wreak havoc on your own piping system, they destroy septic systems, and are causing major issues in municipal sewer systems, so put them in the garbage. I personally liked Jackson Reese wipes, the natural scent, I guess. The herbal version that they have was too strongly scented for me personally. And you can find this on the shop page of my website, which is greenathome.ca/shop. All right, finally, let's talk about baby skincare. First and foremost, we are being way oversold on the need for skincare products for babies. So the easiest way to spend less is not to buy any in the first place. The reality is babies don't need much, especially in the beginning. So if you're listening to this before you've stocked up, I recommend not buying skincare products until you figure out exactly what your baby needs, because it might be nothing. For the first while, baths can be done with just water. No soap really is needed. When I needed soap, mainly it was when they started to get a bit chunkier and milk got stuck in their skin folds. Sounds gross, but it is quite common. And as they got older, when they got food everywhere, I used a very dilute Castile soap. I like Green Beaver. Just make sure you don't get it in the eyes as it stings like crazy. I also used the same bar soap that I use because I just stick with gentle and natural products for myself too. So they're really friendly for the whole family. And don't feel like you need to put lotion on them all the time either. Their skin may take some time to adjust to the world outside of your womb, and adding a lot to the skin makes it harder for it to sort things out on its own. So early on, I used olive oil as an early diaper balm and massage oil, which is what my midwife recommended, and that worked great for us. If baby is demonstrating some chapped skin, mine had some pretty major drool irritation on their chins, for example, or you're in need of a diaper balm, you can look for cleaner options for sure, but I encourage you to wait until you know what you need before you spend a whole bunch of money stocking up on a wide array of products. Now, if eczema is a concern, please know that creams typically aren't the cure. Eczema is a very complex condition, and if you suspect your little one is struggling with it, I recommend seeing a naturopathic doctor who can get to the root cause. I'll link a blog post in the show notes that was written by an ND on natural eczema support for more information, but this is definitely an area that you'll want to dig into a little bit more than just using a cream recommended by a medical doctor, even a dermatologist. Unfortunately, they're just trained to kind of treat the skin symptom, but not the root cause. And that's really what you want to get to when it comes to eczema. When choosing skincare products with safer ingredients, I encourage you to listen to episode 2, where I walk you through some of the things to look for and how to read labels effectively. I also have a free label reading training, which I will link in the show notes. And as a bit of a shortcut, as I mentioned, you can find some of my favorite products over on the shop at greenathome.ca/shop. I hope this gives you some food for thought and some answers to your questions about choosing safer diapers, wipes, and skincare for your baby. There's only so much I can include in a reasonable length podcast episode, so if you're looking for more details on choosing safer products, brand recommendations, and going beyond into some whole home strategies to support your baby's health, I have a 3-part video course plus companion guide called Healthproof Your Home for Baby. You can learn more about it at greenathome.info/healthproof, and I'll pop that link in the show notes as well. All right, coming up next week, I'm excited to share an interview that I did with the green mom, Mira Jane, about going low waste. I look forward to chatting with you then. Bye for now. Wait, before you go, I have a quick favor to ask. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts and like what you've heard, please take a moment to hit subscribe and leave a 5-star rating and a written review. You can do it right from the app. It takes just a sec and really helps me to be able to continue to share this important information with more people. Plus, you might just get a shout out on a future episode. Thanks so much, and bye for now.